As I thought about this morning's message, and it's funny, I was talking to Aaron earlier this week. I said it's kind of chose the traditional after Christmas Sunday text, and that's the text dealing with the Magi or the wise men. And typically that's the after Christmas text because they really don't belong in the nativity scene. If you understand Scripture, you read Scripture, they showed up to worship Jesus about 2 years after the birth of Jesus. And so, still a part of the Christmas story in my mind, but to take it out of that nativity scene, we often move it to this Sunday after Christmas. And as I thought about the wise men and the Magi and the gifts that they brought, I have to imagine that at least nearly every person in this room over the past few days has either received or given a gift. And chances are more than one. And I wonder, of those gifts that you've given, how many were wise gifts? Of the gifts you've received, how many were wise gifts? I know there's been gifts that I've given to some other person, and after the fact, I think to myself, that wasn't very smart. I shouldn't have done that. There's been gifts that I've received that I've gotten them and I've looked at it and I says, what am I going to do with this? And you're probably in the same boat. We all stock things in our closet and our cupboards that we kind of save up for white elephant gifts to give someone else because, well, we don't want to just throw it away, but we don't have a use for it. And as I thought about this idea of a gift that's wise, I began to think that maybe that's somewhat subjective in our world. I'll tell you about a gift that I bought this past week, and most of the times people hear this story and their first reaction is that's not a very smart move. But I bought a water softener and for my wife for Christmas. And the funny part is as I was going through the checkout line at Sam's Club, I have this there, and the lady that's there, she comments about, wow, that's nice. She says, I could use a water softener. And I says, well, it's a gift for my wife for Christmas. And her exact words were, that's a wise gift. I thought, I don't hear that very often. Most people think that's kind of odd. And she appreciated it. She loves it. And so in her mind, it was a wise gift, and even in the mind of the store clerk, it was a wise gift because they could see a purpose, they could see a use. And so this morning, as we consider a gift that's wise, I want to look at it from three different perspectives, but I want to look at it initially from the perspective of the Magi, this group of travelers that we often refer to as the wise men. I want to look at it from the perspective of God and the gift that he has given to us. And I want to kind of tie it all together with the gift that we ought to give. And not just the gift that we ought to give one another, but the gift that we ought to give God. So as we begin this morning, and we're going to look in just a moment in Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses, but I want to open with prayer before I read that. Father, as we consider your word this morning, may you still our minds and our hearts, that we would hear the message that your Spirit has designed for us to hear. Father, as we consider just what it is that makes a gift wise, may we open our hearts to give that kind of gift to one another, but especially a wise gift to you. So, Father, as we look at your word, as we consider your message this morning, may our ears be open. May our hearts be receptive. And may the seed that is planted take root and grow and produce an abundant harvest. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Probably a familiar story to most, the story of the Magi, found in Matthew chapter 2. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where this Christ was to be born. Well, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This morning, as we consider a gift that is wise, I want us to consider these lessons from the Magi. Because I believe when we understand the gift that was given, we recognize the importance of a wise gift. And I think to begin with, for a gift to be considered wise, we have to almost look into the mind of the recipient and discover what is it that's wanted. The wise men, out of all of the people in the world of that day, seemed to have had this glimpse into the mind of God as to what was wanted as a gift. They traveled from a great distance, and they understood that what was wanted was a heart of worship. All of the people in Jerusalem, and I find it fascinating that the text tells us that not only was Herod disturbed, that there was a possibility of a king being born in Judea, but it says all the people of Jerusalem were disturbed. And somehow the people that should have known better had missed what was wanted. And as we look at God's gift to us, it's fascinating. You read the Luke account and you get a number of different characters. You get Simeon, you get Anna, you get others that have been longing for a Messiah. And as we understand, even in our culture today, we go and we ask people one thing that could be given to the world, and top or high on that list in most people's mind would be peace. And we could understand that what God wanted as a gift was worship. What we often want as a gift is peace. And God has sent his Son as peace, to make peace not in the world itself, but to make peace between us and God. We're going to look a little bit later then about how that applies to what God wants from us, and what we ought to be giving to God. So the first part of a wise gift is to understand that it's a gift that's wanted. That's really was key in making this water softener a wise gift for my wife, because it was a wanted gift. If it was an unwanted gift, it would not have been wise, believe me. But it was wanted. And when we consider the gifts that we give, we consider the gifts that God has given us, we consider the gifts that the Magi had given this Christ child, wanted makes them wise. The second part of this gift that is wise is not only do they need to be wanted, but they need to be intentional. I don't know that anybody wants a gift that's just kind of an afterthought. Well, I saw it and nobody else was using it, so here. And it's one of those concepts that, as I think about the Magi and the trip that they made, that their report to Herod was, we have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. It was a very intentional trip. They came with one purpose in mind. It wasn't out of curiosity, it was out of a desire to worship and to give honor to this king that was born. They were very intentional in their pursuit. And while their details were a little vague, they knew the best place to ask was, at least they thought, was with the current king. Surely the king that is currently presiding over the nation would know where the next king is coming from. Well, he didn't. But it's interesting that it always baffles me that the chief priests and the rulers, they knew where he should be from. They were able to give the answer. Well, the king that we're expecting ought to be born in Bethlehem. But you see no record that they went to check it out. But the Magi were intentional about pursuing this king and to worshiping this king. As we look at God's gift to us in the person of Jesus, Paul writes, I believe it's to the Galatians, and says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son to be born of a woman. God was very intentional about sending Jesus, not just anywhere and not just at any time, but when the time was right. God knew we needed a Savior. We needed a Savior that would live a life that was perfect, that was sinless, that could prove once and for all that the penalty of sin could be defeated. And God was very intentional in his gift to us in sending his son Jesus at a time and a place that was just right for what we needed. And this wise gift was not only a wanted gift and not only an intentional gift, but it was a sacrificial gift. You look at the items that the wise men brought to Jesus. Things that we would look at today and the gold, at least, we'd say, yeah, everybody wants gold. Oh, just a side note, I saw in the news just this past week that Lego sets have actually increased in value more over the last few years than gold itself. So I'm not recommending you go out and invest in Legos, but hey, that was kind of a surprising, shocking fact. But this gift of the Magi was very sacrificial. We don't have a good estimation other than if they left right away, it took them up to 2 years of travel. Because their time from when they first saw the star until they arrived to Herod's palace is 2 years. And to think of being on the road, intentional on worshiping a newborn king, and taking a 2-year road trip, that's sacrificial. To leave behind everything that's your regular life, your life of comfort, your normal routine. And to say this is more important than whatever my daily routine was. It's more important that I worship this Christ child. I'm going to give up my time, my energy, whatever I need to. So the Magi are sacrificial with their time. They're also sacrificial with their treasure as they give of the gold, the incense, or as I memorized it back in the King James, the frankincense and the myrrh, all of which were very precious and valuable commodities in their time, and all of which had significance. But for today's message, the significance I want to point out is it was all very sacrificial. It was things that cost them something to be able to give. When we think about God's gift to us, I always loved the way that Paul writes to the Philippians, and he talks about Jesus not considering equality with God something to be grasped or clung on to, but he emptied himself to become a man, to be born a baby, and to live as a bondservant. You talk about sacrificial. I've never been to heaven, but the description I get from John's account, Revelation, it's a pretty amazing place. And for Jesus to give that up for a time, to step away from the glory of his Father, to come to earth and to live among the creation, and particularly to live among a people that did not understand him, that eventually rejected him. God's gift to us was sacrificial to the extent of death. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, even death on a cross. We want to look at a gift that's wise. We look at a gift that's wanted. We look at a gift that's intentional. We look at a gift that's sacrificial. But we also look at a gift that's wise. We look at a gift that is enough. I always find it fascinating, and there's not really textual backing to prove this is the case, but I believe that the gift of the Magi to Mary and Joseph and to Jesus had a purpose, and it was enough. You see, you read down through the next two verses, you pick up at verse 13 following. Herod wasn't very happy when he realized that he'd been tricked, when he realized that the Magi had found the Christ child and they went home by a different way and didn't come back and tell him. And he was determined to kill this rival to the throne. But he didn't know who he was or where he was, and so the decree went out to kill every newborn male that was 2 years old and under. But God warned Mary and Joseph and told them to flee. And I believe that this wise gift that the Magi brought was enough to fund their travel. What else would you do with gold that had been given when you're fleeing to a country that you're not familiar with? You see, this sacrificial gift was enough to provide for Mary and Joseph and Jesus as they headed down to Egypt to escape a king that had gone mad. A king that was determined to do in this Christ child. Not only was the Magi's gift enough for the needs of Mary and Joseph and for Jesus, but God's gift to us is enough. I know some days we go through life, we look at the balance in our checkbook, we look at this or we look at that, and we begin to wonder, is it enough? But Paul writes, and he's struggling himself, and he's, I think, questioning, is it enough? And he wants God to remove a thorn. And there's a lot of debate on what that thorn was, and that's neither here nor there this morning. Because God's answer was, my grace is enough. God's gift to us through Jesus Christ is enough to pay the penalty of our sin. It's enough to make us right with God. It's enough to bring us into a right relationship to avoid the penalty that we owe. God makes it clear that the wages of sin is death. And before we start looking around and thinking, well, I'm a pretty good person, that probably doesn't apply to me, he also makes it clear that all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. And this gift that is wise from God is enough to pay that penalty so that we can have life eternal. So that's the gift that is wise from the Magi. That's the gift that is wise from God to us. But what about our response? What does God require from us in a gift that is wise? I think it's the same four things. We look at who we're giving it to. If we're giving it to God, what does he want? God made it clear. When asked, Jesus was asked the greatest commandment. He says, this is what I want. I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If we want to give God a gift that's wanted by him, we give him our love. And not just partially, not just a token, not just when it's convenient. But a love that comes from our entire being. That's what he wants. But it can't just be a matter of convenience. Our gift to God must also be intentional if it's going to be a wise gift. We must be deliberate about choosing God. Paul writes a couple different times, and he talks about this need to surrender to God. And he talks about salvation is not just for the few, but it's for all who will call upon the name of Jesus. But calling upon the name of Jesus in an appropriate way is not something we're going to do accidentally. There are a lot of people in our culture that call on the name of Jesus, or at least use the name of Jesus, in very inappropriate ways. But the way that God is talking about, the way Scripture talks about, we have to be very intentional. Because God says that he's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And that the only way I know of to come to repentance is to be intentional about going to God, being sorry for my sin, and turning away from it. I don't accidentally turn away from sin. If I'm not intentional about turning away from sin, avoiding sin in my life, I continue to do it. So a gift to God from us that's wise is an intentional act that I'm repenting of my sin and I'm turning to the Lordship of Christ. And our gift to God not only has to be something that he wants, it not only has to be intentional, but it must be sacrificial. I always love the passage where David is wanting to offer a sacrifice to God, and because he's king, you know, people say, well, here, take this, take that. And his response is, I will not offer God something that costs me nothing. Paul writes the Romans and tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That this is our reasonable or spiritual act of worship. Our gift to God that's wise is wanted by God. It's intentional on our part. It's sacrificial. It's giving up our desires to take on the desires of God. And when we do that, our gift to God is enough. God is not asking of us more than what we can give. He may be asking more than we want to give, but he's not asking more than we can give. He's asking for all of us. The lead-in to the verse I mentioned out of Romans, as Paul writes to them, about presenting your body as a living sacrifice. He says, in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy, your life is enough as a gift to God. This morning, as we prepare to consider our part, to consider our response, what does God want? What will I do about it? I ask, have you given God a gift that's wise? Are you willing to give God a gift that's wise? Are you willing every day to surrender fully to the Lordship of Christ? Oftentimes we hear that and our mind automatically, if we've grown up in the church, think, well, that's for those that are unsaved, that have yet to respond. And while that is true, those that have not yet been obedient to Christ, they need to give that gift of themselves. But that doesn't let the rest of us off the hook. Those of us that have surrendered to Christ, at least in my experience, we need to do that every day. Every moment of every day. It must be a deliberate decision that this gift that I'm giving God that's wise is intentional. And I keep it intentional by doing it every day. Saying, God, I'm yours. For your use. Whatever that looks like. In just a moment, we're going to have a song of decision. And perhaps God's calling you to make a decision that you need to make publicly. That would be the time to come and do that. Maybe God's prompting in your heart something that you need someone to pray with you about. You'll have the opportunity to do that as well. But whether it's a public decision or not, I believe that every time God's word is preached, he's calling every person to make a decision. And that decision really revolves around that simple question, what are you going to do about what you've heard? Will you make a wise gift and give a wise gift? I want to close with a poem that, if I can find it here. As I was working through this last night, this was another gift that God gave me that I want to share. It says, what kind of gift should you and I bring when we come before the one who is king? We think and we ponder, we search high and low, we sift through the clues that might help us know. We want the best gift, the one that is wise. Forget all the fruitcakes and those ugly ties. To find the answer, we go back in time and examine the magi and the rest of this rhyme. A gift that is wanted is a good place to start. And God wants true worship that comes from the heart. The magi sought Jesus to honor as king, and their gift of worship was the first they did bring. An intentional gift has thought behind it. It's not just the first thing that you think might just fit. The Magi did travel with one purpose in mind. Their intent was to honor the king they would find. A sacrificial spirit doesn't think twice. It gives of itself, no matter the price. The Magi gave gifts of time and great worth, gifts fit for a king as they traveled this earth. A gift that's enough would surely be wise to meet every need without a surprise. The gifts from the Magi perhaps were the key to provide for this family when they had to flee. So, what is the gift that God wants from you? And what's your intent on seeing it through? Will you sacrifice self and all of its cries, knowing that is enough to be a gift that is wise? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we could gather, we could honor you, we could lift up the name of Jesus. Thank you for the example of the Magi and the story that we have, and an example of a true gift that was wise. Thank you for the example of Jesus and the gift from you that was wise beyond all measure. Father, as we consider our response, may our response be a wise response. That each day we would live more and more as the representative of Jesus that you've created us to be. May we honor him with our life, with our words, with our actions. May we give ourselves fully to his lordship. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing, and if you have a decision, you